All right. So this is Cindy O'Neill Dady. I'm the CEO and founder of Exceptional Connections Networking. And we are with you today on a bonus call on Tuesday, January 17th at noon on the dot. And we're starting a call on procrastination with Debbie Rosemont. So I'm going to do a quick introduction of Debbie, and then I'll turn the call over to her, and she's going to share with you today, and then we'll follow up with the Q&A. So Debbie Rosemont, CPO and productivity consultant, started Simply Place to help clients increase productivity, maximize efficiency, and bring balance and control into their work and lives. Her team teaches organized systems and productive habits that allow clients to work smarter, not harder, by effectively managing their email, time, tasks, team, and workspace. Oh, man, all important stuff. Resulting in improved client service, employee retention, revenue, and reduced stress. Rosemont is an engaging speaker, an effective consultant and trainer, and has been interviewed numerous times for TV, print, and radio media. She is the author of the book, 6 Word Lessons to Be More Productive. Debbie generously shared her plan for success with our January Exceptional Connections luncheon attendees last week. Participants practice setting SMART goals and learn 7 strategies for following through to success. So today, Debbie is going to be sharing with us about procrastination. And that's a topic that, you know, we all can be inspired by and help to set the tone for a productive year. So Debbie, I'm going to turn the call over to you, and thank you again for joining us and for generously offering this bonus call to our Exceptional Connections attendees and beyond.
Well, you are most welcome. It's my pleasure, and I'm glad for the opportunity. I just think this topic, I playfully title it, What Are You Waiting For? When we talk about procrastination, I think it naturally follows a conversation that we had in the room together last week on goal setting. And for those of you that might not have been able to make the Exceptional Connections event where we did planning for success, I just want to review really quickly, and if you're taking notes and you want to, if you want to jot this down, just a quick review on what setting SMART goals is about. I think that's an important conversation to have before we move on to why we might not move forward on our goals. So setting SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable for you, really wanted, and time sensitive is your first step to being clear about what you want and moving forward on those things. So keep in mind that just having an intention is nice, but it's not enough to get you where you want to go. So we need to be specific about what we want, make sure we're setting goals that are measurable, that are attainable for us. We're not worried about what others are able to do, but what can we do? We really need to want those things that we set as goals. Otherwise, we won't be motivated to move forward, and they need to be time sensitive. So just a really quick review on what a SMART goal is. And if you want to raise your chance on succeeding in that goal, make sure you write your goal down. Make sure to make it SMART. Share it publicly, and ask for accountability. Those are all just some quick tips on increasing your chance of success in achieving your goal. So I want you to be thinking about, as we have this conversation on procrastination, what is one SMART goal you have for yourself in this next year or even 90 days or month ahead, however you want to break that down. And I want you to think hard and in fact, even write down, why is it that you want that goal? Why is it that you want to achieve that thing, have what it is you've set forth as a goal, or stop doing something that you've set as a goal to stop doing? What is your why? And that's something important to understand. And then as we get to talk about procrastination, there are various things that can cause us to can procrastinate, but I want you to think about and then try and anticipate what might cause procrastination for you as you think about this one goal you have in mind. So when we can anticipate a potential roadblock or barrier to our success, we can be better equipped to plan for the fact that that might happen for us. We might hit that roadblock. We might run into a barrier, and to know ahead of time what we might do about that. So you've got a SMART goal in mind. You've written down why you really want it. You're starting to anticipate some things that could come up for you, and maybe even something that you can do when that roadblock shows itself. So let's move into talking about procrastination. The topic is interesting because there are a good 10 reasons why procrastination happens, and I'll run through those. And then I'll give you some strategies on what you can do about those 10 things, how you can fight procrastination. But let's define it first. So for today, we'll use the definition of procrastination as an unintentional gap between intention and action. I'll say that again. So procrastination is an unintentional or undesirable time gap between intention and action. So that's where we've set a goal, but then we drag our feet on moving forward. Or we've set a goal and we put off the action steps we know we should take in order to accomplish what we want. So if you really want something, what is it that causes you to procrastinate? I mentioned there's a good 10 reasons why people procrastinate, and as I run through them, you can be listening to what resonates with you, maybe what you've seen as a pattern in your past or what you know has caused procrastination for you in the past. And then when we open it up for question and answer, I'd love to hear from you about what have been your biggest reasons or causes for procrastination. I just find it interesting to gain some perspective from each other. So the 10 reasons procrastination happens. The first is a self-control issue. So people procrastinate who tend to be impulsive or have a hard time prioritizing. It's difficult, if this is true for you, to maintain control and to have self-control and discipline to move forward on something. So if you know you're more of a intuitive type and you tend to be distracted by shiny objects easily, and it's just hard for you to maintain discipline and maintain that self-control to move forward on something, that might be the number one cause for procrastination for you. A second cause is, and I just alluded to it, shiny objects. So people will procrastinate when there are shiny objects in their peripheral or even, front vision. And that can be things like email alerts. Paper piles on your desk can be shiny objects. Interruptions or distractions from other people. So you might be working on something, you might have a goal that you are ready to take the first step on, you sit down to start that process, and then you're distracted by another paper pile on your desk and maybe a to-do that pile represents, or maybe 10 to-dos that pile represents, or an email alert comes up, or your phone buzzes, or any one of those things. So we call those shiny objects, and it can easily be a cause of procrastination. The third why it happens is a potential set of false beliefs. And it is the belief that some people hold that they work better under pressure. So again, you can be thinking about, is this true for you? Do you believe that you work better under pressure? So I know people who say, I would rather be too busy than too slow on any given day. I want to be filled with activity. And my answer is always that busy does not equal productive. But some people do hold a false belief that they work better under pressure. They work better when they're tied up against a deadline. And I'm going to argue that very rarely would that work be your best quality work when you've come right up against the deadline? So you've procrastinated because you think you work better under pressure. Now it is, you know, do or die time, and so you're cranking something out, but is it your best quality work? Had you given yourself more time, could you have done a higher quality job on this project or goal? So that is the third, and that's false belief. The fourth reason that people procrastinate is a fear of failure. And this is the notion that I would rather be seen as lacking in effort than lacking in skill. So I'm not sure I can succeed in doing this, so maybe I just won't try. That fear of failure, what if I try and it doesn't work out? Am I going to, you know, be seen as less than? Am I going to be laughed at? Am I going to be seen as a failure? So maybe I just won't try. And I would couple with this also a fear of success, because that can be just as true for some people as a fear of failure. So a fear of success that would cause you to procrastinate would sound like a voice in your head that says, what if I succeed at reaching that goal and then somebody expects more of me? So what if I raise the bar, I get to the next level, and then I always have to perform up there? Or what if at work I accomplish something on time as promised, I've exceeded expectations, and then they pile more on me because of it? That's a fear of success. Or what will they say about me if I make that much money? Or what will they say about me if I succeed there? So a fear of success can also cause people to procrastinate. The next is a thrill-seeking behavior, or a thrill-seeking itch, I guess. So some people really feed off of the adrenaline rush that comes when you procrastinate, leave something to the last minute, and then have to pull it off. There is a rise in cortisol in your system that can cause your heart to beat a little faster, your palms to get a little sweaty, and for some people that's an exciting feeling. For others it's stressful, but this thrill-seeking itch for some people can also be satisfied in other ways, like riding roller coasters or, you know, doing something else that's exciting, not in having to procrastinate and have that cortisol rise because we've left something to the last minute. The next is task-related anxieties. So a reason why people procrastinate is because they just don't want to do the work. They're not excited about it. They're dreading that it might be difficult. So to avoid the difficulty, to avoid something that they perceive as being boring or I just don't want to do it kind of task, they'll procrastinate. So this happens more when somebody else wants you to do something than when you really want it. And that's why I'm going to go back to saying you need to understand your why for any goal you've set, and that your goals need to be something that you really want for yourself, not that somebody else wants for you. So you'll be less likely to suffer from task-related anxiety as a cause for procrastination if those are true for you. The seventh reason that people will procrastinate is because there is an unclear set of expectations for them on what they want to achieve or what somebody else wants them to achieve. So again, part of setting SMART goals is a fix for this, but if you've been asked to do something or you have set something ahead for yourself to accomplish, but you're not really clear on what the priorities are, what the direction is, or what steps to take, you will procrastinate. So unclear expectations is the seventh reason. The eighth is depression. And, you know, we can talk about a mild case of depression in the task-related anxieties and just, I just don't want to do this. But there's also true clinical depression, that when somebody is suffering depression, it's hard enough to get out of bed in the morning and face the day, let alone then have to make progress on projects and goals, and so that intrinsic motivation is just not there in the same way as when we're feeling mentally our strongest and happiest and healthiest. So depression can be a reason that makes getting started on something feel difficult or pointless. So something to potentially address if that is true for you or somebody you know. The ninth reason people procrastinate is because of something in their childhood. It's punitive parenting. So if you grew up with very strict parents who were highly critical, then you may procrastinate on something for fear of criticism, somebody criticizing that it's not just right or it's not good enough. And so there's that fear of criticism that kicks in. There's also the opposite, which is kind of rebellion. So again, if you grew up with strict parents who were highly demanding and you rebelled as a child, you might still have that similar pattern as an adult who says, you know what, I'm going to put this on off because I'm in control. Nobody else can make me do something. I'm going to rebel against this, and I'm going to procrastinate. So that's the ninth reason, and that's punitive parenting. And then the tenth and the number one cause for procrastination for many people is perfectionism. So perfectionism can be paralyzing to productivity. If you're a perfectionist, it can be really hard to start something if you don't feel like you can do it perfectly. It's also very hard to finish something because you feel like it's never going to be good enough. So you can never really call it finished or done. So in both cases, you're going to procrastinate either the first step or the last step of something. So we'll talk a little bit about fighting perfectionism in just a few minutes. So those are the top 10 causes for procrastination. So what do we do about this? I'm going to give you now 10 tips so that you can fight procrastination and get past these things. And again, you can be listening for those that apply directly to one of those 10 causes that might be most relevant for you to know the things that you could do right away to minimize procrastination. So the first suggestion is to eliminate distraction. So by eliminate distraction, I'm talking about clearing physical clutter. So get rid of the clutter, the things on your desk or in your space that might be that shiny object, that might be the thing that's going to keep you from moving forward on a priority, that is going to distract you and be in your way from having the most time to work on the things that you really want. So clearing clutter. When you are ready to take an action step on your goal, shut down your email. Be away from Outlook or put your phone down or away while you're working on something related to your goal. So again, you're not distracted by email. And then we mentioned before, remove shiny objects. So that's all part of the first strategy of eliminating distraction. The second suggestion I'll make is to gain clarity. So get really clear on what your goal is, on what the expectations are for the outcome, whether expectations you hold for yourself or if this is something that somebody else has asked you to do, for example, in your job, what are their expectations for the outcome? And gain clarity on how to accomplish the end results. So having written out the steps or the how-tos, you can see where you have questions, you can get those questions answered before you start to dive in and find that you get stuck. So we can gain clarity right at the outset of getting started. The third strategy is to eat an elephant. And I'm sure you've heard the adage, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. So when you have a goal that feels big, I want you to think about one bite at a time, about taking away any overwhelm by breaking it down into manageable pieces. So you can ask yourself, what's the first step I need to take? And then what's the next step? And et cetera. So I gave the example in the session on goal setting last week that if you had a goal to run a marathon and you've never done that before, and maybe you are just a walker or, you know, run a couple miles right now, that might feel very overwhelming to think about running 26.2 miles in one period of time. So to take away the overwhelm, you might list out all the steps that you would take to get to the point where you could run or walk 26.2 miles at one time. And maybe the first step is finding a training plan online based on where you are today. And so thinking about just looking, just searching online for a training plan to be able to run a marathon, say, 6 months from now, that alone might not feel overwhelming. Running the marathon might still feel overwhelming, but taking that first step might not. You know, getting a new pair of running shoes by itself probably doesn't feel overwhelming, but it's a step that you would want to take if your goal was to run a marathon. So those are examples. It's breaking something down into bite-sized pieces that in and of themselves do not overwhelm you. Okay? The next step, or the fourth suggestion to minimize procrastination, sounds kind of crass, but it is to stop farting around. I'm going to repeat that. It's stop farting around. So there are things that we do as avoidance tasks, and I'm putting tasks in air quotes because they're not really tasks. We might be hopping on Facebook. We might be, if we're working from home, we might be getting up to, put a few things away that have nothing to do with our work. It's the water cooler chit-chat if you're in an office with other people. And these things are not necessarily time wasters, but they are means to avoid what you really should be doing to move forward on your goal. So when I say stop farting around, I mean implement some discipline for yourself that you will get some work done and then maybe entertain something like getting on Facebook for non-work reasons. So one thing that you could consider doing that, and I mentioned this in the session last week as well, is doing the hardest thing you need to do first thing in the morning. So before you get lost in email, before you get connected on Facebook, before you start doing a million other things that might be a little more reactive than proactive, get the hardest thing done first. And Brian Tracy is an author and a speaker who wrote a book called Eat That Frog. And this is really his concept, is eat the frog for breakfast. If you had to eat a frog, wouldn't you rather just eat it for breakfast, get it done with, than have to stare at it all day long, still eventually to have to eat it? So this is kind of the ultimate in avoiding procrastination, is just do it. Get that hard thing done first. And the fifth suggestion for you is to establish reward. So we can have both big and small ways that we can reward ourselves. And the small rewards can just be for staying on task for a certain period of time. So I mentioned that, to do the hardest thing first, if you did actually sit down and you got that done in the first hour of the day, what's a small way you could reward yourself for doing that without allowing interruption and without getting distracted? Is it that you set a timer and be good with being on Facebook for 15 minutes because that's fun for you? That can be a small reward. Having a cup of coffee or tea or going for a short walk or calling a friend just because, those can all be small ways to reward yourself for making progress. And then think about, what might motivate you as a reward for finishing this goal or this project. So to avoid procrastination, if you had some things to look forward to help motivate you, would that be of assistance? So establish rewards, both big and small. The sixth strategy is to block time and to honor it on your calendar. So I want you to think about the idea that what gets scheduled for many people gets done. So people will schedule important things on their calendar. They'll schedule meetings with others. They'll schedule doctor's appointments. They'll schedule various types of things on their calendar. And I want you to consider scheduling time with yourself. So before we talked about breaking things down into bite-sized steps, consider plugging those steps then into your calendar and blocking time off, making it a priority to do that. So to research that training plan on running a marathon, you know, in 30 minutes tomorrow at 2. When you get real specific like that, and if you honor that time, and that, of course, is the second piece and kind of a key ingredient to this, is you can't just put things on your calendar if you're not going to pay attention to them. That defeats the purpose. But block time and honor it. Actually do that research then tomorrow at 2 for 30 minutes. And sometimes we also need the boundaries of saying, I won't do this for longer than, because, you know, when we hop on the internet to do any research, it's so easy to then start going down a rabbit hole and ending up someplace we never imagined hours later. So if it's something that is involving research on the internet or any other activity in which you can tend to get carried away, set a timer. So block time and honor it on your calendar. And you might think, too, about working in chunks of time. And one technique is called the Pomodoro technique. And Pomodoro is Italian for tomato. And so there's these actual tomato-shaped timers that a company sells. You don't have to have a tomato timer, but you could have any timer. I love the time timer because it's visual. Set your timer for a 25-minute chunk of time and have identified things that you can accomplish in 25 minutes. And kind of keep your butt in the seat and do that thing for 25 minutes. And then at the end of the 25 minutes, take a 5-minute break and go do something else. And then come sit down again in another 25-minute block and a 5-minute break. Or if you want to focus for longer, you could do a 50-minute block. So 2 Pomodoros, 50 minutes, and a 20-minute break, and then another 50-minute block of work. So you decide how that would work best for you. But there's a couple of ideas there. The 7th technique is to minimize interruptions or to know how you'll handle them. So if you work in a space with other people, can you close a door? Can you put some indication, if you're in an open office space or if you're in a home office, can you put some indication of visual on your desk in a certain spot that as other people are walking by and considering whether or not to interrupt you, that they could look and see if the, you know, red flag is up, that you are focused heads down on a deadline. So is there some sort of visual cue that you could give to other people that you're trying to stay on task and focus? So think about how you might minimize interruption and to put a visual out for other people. And then, you know if somebody really needs you, and they're going to come to your space and be in front of you, that you really have a decision to make. Either what they need is more important or a higher priority than what you're working on, in which case you make a note about what you were working on, what you were about to do next, so you could come back to it quickly later and give them your full attention. If what you're working on is on a deadline or has a higher priority than what they need, then you need to let them know that you can help them. You know, I can't do this right now. I have to get this report out by noon, but I'm happy to chat with you about that at 2. Can we connect then? So think about how you're going to handle interruptions when they happen, because we know that they will. The 8th strategy is to repeat to yourself as often as needed, is done is better than perfect. So we talked about perfectionism being the number one cause for procrastination. If you are a perfectionist, or like me, I'm a recovering perfectionist, this is always a work in progress for me, please remind yourself that done is almost always better than perfect. So finish that thing instead of waiting for it to be perfect or putting off progress because you're afraid it can't be perfect. So a perfectionist will spend 50% of their time on a project or an activity getting the last 5 to 10% just right. Think about the time that you could save if you decide that 95% done is good enough. And I'm not talking about being sloppy and allowing, you know, lots of errors and, not doing your best work, but is 95% good enough? And in many cases, it is. So repeat to yourself, post a visual that done is better than perfect, and that can help a lot of procrastination be avoided by allowing you to move forward on something. The ninth technique is to ask someone to hold you accountable. And I mentioned this right from the outset. It is one of the things that will increase your chance of success on a goal. But when you have even the activity you know you want to do to accomplish your goal, and you have somebody else checking in on you or, connecting with you on how you're moving forward, you're much more likely to get that work done or get that activity taken care of. So find an accountability partner, share with them what you're doing, ask them to hold you accountable, and you can decide how often will you check in and what way will you check in. But it's a really powerful tool to avoiding procrastination. So especially on something that you've been putting off, make sure to involve somebody else and ask them to be hold you accountable, and then you would do the same for them. Find out what they're up to and find a way to hold them accountable. And the last strategy, and then I want to open this up for some questions, is to just go for it, to face the fear. So we talked about fear of failure and fear of success. And sometimes we just need to experiment. You know, instead of asking yourself, what will happen if I fail or what will happen if I succeed, is to actually do that thing and not try to guess at what will happen if I fail or succeed. I think, you know, any quote-unquote failure can just the same be seen as a learning opportunity, and that when we fail at something, all is not lost. We learn, we adjust, and it does not mean we are a failure. It means something didn't work out the way we thought it would. And so just keep that in mind and take some risks, ask for help, and move forward. So, Cindy, can we open up the lines for questions? Great. So I would love to hear from people, what of those 10 reasons for procrastination, what resonated the most for you? What do you find being your pattern, at least in the past? Or what are the barriers or things that trip you up in moving forward in your goal?
Hey, Debbie, I just want to jump in real fast before others do, and just thank you so much for those, really causes for procrastination to set the groundwork, and then, some awesome strategies to be able to combat that. So thank you for that. Really great things to chew on. For me, procrastination, I really resonated with me when you say you're recovering perfectionist, because I see myself as that as well. And I know that being able to address that one thing over the years has helped me the most, is being able to just, give myself permission to just, get things done and do the best I can, and know that each time I'm going to learn from that and get better and better.
Good. And do we have the lines unmuted, Cindy, so that others can?
We should. Anybody want to chime in and just confirm that? Anybody there? Okay, so what you might need is to click on *6 on your own phone, but I unmuted the call at large here. I'm using a new platform, so I'm not as familiar with this one, but that should have done it, Debbie. Darn.
Well, what we can do, if if we're going to run into some technical difficulties, I always hate for that to be a conversation stopper. So an idea I have is that people could hop on the Exceptional Connections Facebook page. Cindy, maybe you can, or you know what, let me, so that I can make sure to answer these questions, I will post something today, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to post a question on the Simply Placed Facebook page on procrastination, and I invite anybody on the call to go to that page, ask a question, and I commit to personally answering your questions. And so any question that's posted today, I'll make sure to answer within 24 hours, and that might just be a good way to have conversation too, because people would be able to read each other's questions and see what others are thinking about.
So, Debbie, I just tried something else here. So, try.
Cindy?
Yeah, I opened things up another. Maybe I think everybody can get through now.
Okay, great, great.
So, can you hear me, Cindy? This is Gail.
Yes.
Okay. Well, hi, Debbie. This is Gail. And I had two that resonated with me. One is discipline. I don't have any discipline. And my second one is false beliefs. Because I feel like I do work on a deadline better than otherwise.
Well, and what I have found to be true is that that kind of is reinforced when you're up against a deadline and you're working under pressure, and once again, you pull it off. You succeed, you meet that deadline, and there's that feeling of, see, I can do it, I can do this. My question back yes. to you, Dale, is that your best work? So if you are pushed up against the deadline and you've given yourself an hour to accomplish something that, let's say you knew about it a couple weeks ago, but now you're in the hour before a deadline, you crank it out, you get it done, you hit send or you submit or you finish, and you say, oh, see, I did it. I needed to bring myself down to that last hour. Is that your best work? Or had you put some things on your calendar and maybe gotten some start at least earlier and then been polishing that work in the last hour, would it have been even higher quality? So are you reaching your potential in that regard?
Well, I see what you're saying, but that's if I were preparing a speech or a paper or something like that. I guess one thing that came to mind was it's now tax time, and I've got to prepare my information for my CPA, and I only have a certain time span to get that done so that he can get his work done before April 15th. And
right.
So you're right. You know, I may miss things if I don't do a little bit each day rather than do it like crazy. Like a week before. So, yes, I understand your point, of course.
Well, and I think having boundaries around time, you know, rather than saying, oh, I've got a couple weeks to do this, I won't worry about it, I'll just do a little here and there, it may be that it's more efficient to do it all in one chunk. I'm just suggesting it not be that very last chunk because
yeah. –
What can happen sometimes is, again, let's say you've left yourself, you know, you're down to that last day before the accountant.
One phone charger?
Nope. And can everyone else put themselves on mute for just a moment? You know, if you're down to that last day and all of a sudden you realize you need to get some information from somebody else who may not be available that day, you've not left yourself time to solve that problem.
That's exactly right.
That's the idea. Yeah, well, very good. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Well, I had a couple other people that indicated they kind of raised their hands that they had questions, so feel free to chime in if you have a few more. We have until 12:45 because Debbie is actually working with clients and has taken a little break to help us out here. So anybody else have questions?
Well, it's not a question. It's a comment. It's Tom.
Hey, Tom.
I was just, you know, I read through your book the other night. And the first two things you mentioned, clear clutter, shut down email. One thing to add to shutting down email is Outlook is very good at taking my emails and putting them into clutter because they don't think I ever look at them because I probably don't. So what I started to do is I have so many subscriptions that I don't look at this one back in, and I'm starting to unsubscribe from them. You know, just basically I'm getting rid of the garbage. Get rid of the junk mail that I don't read.
That's something else that,
you know, more clutter. So, yeah, I'm definitely working on those, too. Thank you.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, reducing the volume coming in. We do have some control over all the input that comes into our life, what we allow in, and unsubscribing from emails that maybe even served us well at one point in time but aren't serving us well now. That's a great step in reducing that noise or that clutter.
Hi, Debbie.
Yes.
Hi, this is Chris. I totally agree with doing the hardest thing first. That's kind of one of the only ways that I get past a real bad procrastination moment is to tackle whatever it is that's the hardest first. I've done it in business, and I've done it for years. It's fantastic. It works. But my problem is I like to finish. Like, I look at a big, huge, gigantic task, and I want to be done. I want to finish it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like I look at a book and to read it, and I want to be done.
So you've got a couple choices. One is to block your time out accordingly. So if you are I start it and I want to finish it in one fell swoop and you're going to sit down and read a book, you might then need to wait until you've got all day in front of you to read that book. Or you can also set milestones. So finish parts of it. Finish and reach.
Oh, okay. So in other words, setting the milestone, you're finishing your goal.
Exactly. So you can redefine for yourself what finish means. And when we talked about, you know, breaking something down into bite-sized steps or into milestones, you can redefine and know that you know, a goal can have multiple milestones. And so instead of a complete end, you're saying, all right, you know, if this is a mile-long run, what is a quarter mile? And is that what I have time to work on right now? And so redefining what you have time to do in any one chunk of time and saying, I'm going to get a quarter of the way through, and here's how I'll know. And by making your goals measurable, we will have different points that we can look at and say, yep, that's when I get there, I'm halfway through. So for you to have that sense of finish or closure, you might have some milestones that if it's not reasonable to do your whole project or whole goal in a sitting, what is reasonable in the time that you have?
Perfect. I really like that.
Good.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I love that too, Debbie, because sometimes I don't start a book because I feel the same way, but, you know, like what Chris's question, if I just said I'm going to read this chapter, then it feels attainable. It feels like, okay, I can handle that, you know, and then just go from there.
Yep.
So that's great. I think we have time for one last question. Anyone want to jump in and ask that one last question to Debbie while we've got her on the line?
And I will still post a question about procrastination today on our Facebook page, on the Simply Place Facebook page. So if you're not one that wants to ask out loud or to do so today, or if you think of something later, you are invited to go make a comment on it, ask a question. I will still entertain those when I'm finished with my client here later in the day. And it might be a good place to just carry on the conversation as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Debbie. So I took notes during this call, and I will have the replay, and I'll post it on our Exceptional Connections Facebook page, and I will be sending it out to those who weren't able to be on the call. But thank you so much, Debbie, for taking time to be on this call and to share the very timely topic of procrastination with us. I especially love you know, what you were saying about being proactive about procrastination and how to anticipate it. You know, roadblocks do show up in all our lives. And that way I feel like we don't feel as paralyzed. They were like, okay, you know, I anticipated that to come, and so this is how I'm going to handle it. So that was a great little takeaway that I'm going to be able to tuck in my pocket and remember the next time I have a goal that I need to accomplish, that, you know, when things step in its path and distract me a little bit. So thank you again so much for generously doing speaking to our Exceptional Connections January community, as well as doing this bonus call. We really appreciate you. And just in closing, Debbie, is there anything you want to leave our listeners with in terms of the next step, if they've received information from you, which I'm sure we all have, takeaways, and they want to work with you further?
Yeah, please reach out via email, and that can go to debbie@itssimplyplace.com. You can also go to our website and fill out the Contact Us form there. So on the website also are some free resources if you'd like to receive our monthly newsletter if you haven't already done that. If you want to search our blog for articles and information that might be helpful to you, you can do that. The book that Tom mentioned having just read, The Six-Word Lessons to Be More Productive, is also available in the shop section of our website. It's also on Amazon. So there are a few no-cost or very low-cost solutions for someone looking for just a little help. And then we also do Power Hour consultations. So if you want to take the next step and work with me or someone on my team to just even get you started on reaching your goals, we'll spend an hour with you. We'll send you a copy of the book. We'll schedule a couple of accountability calls as way of follow-up, so 2 15-minute accountability calls. And we are doing a special for the Exceptional Connections community for any sign-ups in January. Normally that's a $350 value, and that's for this mini package. We have you fill out a time log and an assessment, and we review that with you. It's a great value, but we're offering it for $199. So that's a simple way to get started as well and give you some really good momentum for 2017. So please reach out, indicate that you're interested in the Power Hour if that's something you'd like to talk more about, and I'd be happy to answer your questions.
All right. Thank you so much, Debbie. Appreciate everyone on this call. Wishing you all a wonderful 2017, and the next opportunity to plug in and be part of the Exceptional Connections community is next Tuesday, January 24th. And Deborah Trapin will be leading our first workshop, Let's Take Networking Skills and Success to 11. We still have 3 openings, and so feel free to just reach out to me via Facebook, and we'll get you going if you want to reserve a spot for us. And then our Exceptional Connections February event is actually on Valentine's Day. So come in red, and we've got some awesome vendors, cash and carry, so you'll have some opportunity to get a goodie for yourself or somebody that you care about. So thank you again, Debbie, so much. We appreciate you and look forward to being able to support you, and really appreciate all the tips that you provided our community today.
You are very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, Debbie, I'm going to go ahead.